This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Michael K. is on the radio today, and he ain't afraid to say what he's thinking. Is on the radio today. Turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
This is Robin Roberts, and the Michael K. Show starts right now. Take it away, Michael, Don, and Peter.
Thank you, Robin, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Thursday. It is November 19th today, 2020. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, you know the rules of engagement here. We're apart, but we're together for the next 4 hours, and the other 20 hours, well, that's your responsibility. It's a beautiful, crisp, fall-like day outside, so hope you've had a chance to just go outside your door and breathe it in, but, you know, don't interact with people that much. How you guys doing today?
Hey, good? Pal.
When he calls me pal, Don, that's never a good sign.
That's not good at all.
It's not a good sign. Something's up.
No. I'm feeling good. A lot to talk about today. I'm excited to talk to Toppin today.
Obi.
That's right. Young Obster.
Yeah. A lot of emotion showed yesterday by all the draft picks. And, you know, it was a virtual draft and they were with their family. But, boy, most of them just exploded into tears, including Obi Toppin, the Knicks pick with the eighth selection in the first round. It's funny, though. You know, just listening to the shows that come before us on our station, you never, ever make an entire fan base happy. So they're complaining, well, we need a point guard. You know, why don't we take Obi Toppin? We should take Tyrese Halliburton. He was there. And they got a guy like Bobby Marks, who works for us, a former GM, came out and said, that's the greatest interview I've ever done in all my years as a GM, talking to Halliburton, greatest kid. But then he also comes out and says today on ESPN.com that Toppin's going to be the rookie of the year in the NBA. Well, here's what I would tell fans. Most of them that are complaining about Tyrese Halliburton, they haven't seen him play that much. Now, there are people out there that have, but we haven't even seen Obi Toppin play that much. He's a New York kid that played for Dayton, National Player of the Year. Usually, we get our eyeballs on these college guys when you know, we see them in the tournament. There wasn't a tournament. The Atlantic 10 tournament, where he could have gotten some love, that was canceled, too. They might have won the national championship. That's how good Dayton was. But doesn't mean that we got a chance to see them. So the Knicks made a lot of roster moves earlier, and they've cleared $40 million of cap space by getting rid of the players that had one-year and option contracts. They got rid of them. So their work's not done. And if worse comes to worse, you know, this is not a year that they're going to win a championship. They might take one more kick at the can and see if Dennis Smith Jr. could be that point guard for a long time. And remember, Scott Perry is still a part of this team. He's a GM. He likes Dennis Smith Jr. They might give him a kick at the can and let him be the point guard. We have no idea. We have no idea if Westbrook's going to come here. And you're going to argue? If they had taken Halliburton there, Don, I guarantee that a segment of the fan base would say, how could you not take Toppin, the National Player of the Year? And please don't say he doesn't fit position-wise what they need. They need everything. This team is bereft of talent. Right. They need to fill every spot they can. And this kid is athletic. He can dunk. He's great with a microphone in front of his face. This guy can help sell the Knicks, and he's a New York kid. I like the pick. Well, as good as Halliburton's going to be, and if he was that great, would he have lasted till 12? He got picked with the 12th pick.
Now, this is very strange to me because I guess it just shows you how 2020 is and how we get information, right? Because you guys are way more in on basketball than I am. So you probably follow different people on Twitter. Last night, I got a sense that this was overwhelmingly positive. I think people were excited about it. Maybe it was just because of the way he was emotional, that he's a kid from Brooklyn. He said all the right things in the post-draft interviews that I saw on ESPN and on MSG last night. So I did not hear a lot of the negative at all.
That wasn't you being like stuck in a non-basketball world. I think the overwhelming feeling was positivity, but the way people are, once it's overwhelmingly positive, then you're going to hear the brushback. Well, we needed a point guard. Well, is he just a dunker? Is he going to be able to do that in the league? You're going to hear it. And probably because people reacted so emotionally by seeing him. I mean, listen, we can't write this off, guys. In 2020, the fact that a player cried tears of joy to come to the New York Knicks, that is important. That's not nothing. And you're not talking about some guy who played on some team. We're talking about the best player on a team that had the best moment of their entire existence. He was the pinnacle of that. You know, you're also talking about someone who was a great player at 6'2 his junior year of high school and is now 6'9. So there's a lot to be excited about with this kid. And I understand the questions about point guard. I get it. Stephen A. felt that way and other people did too. But guys, there's a lot to be excited about here with this pick.
You got to tell me the team that they put on the floor on December 22nd. I mean, you're going to go crazy now? Again, this is a work in progress. Here's the way I would look at it. I think Leon Rose doesn't have a high bar to clear. The Knicks have been a clown show. They don't know what they're doing. They haven't known what they're doing forever. And I thought Leon Rose ran a very respectable, impressive draft. He traded picks and got more picks and higher picks. I think he did really smart things. He got a kid that John Calipari raves about in Emmanuel Quigley where, okay, they also need shooters. This kid's a 40% shooter from three-point land. I think he got things done. Today, he made aggressive moves to clear $40 million in cap space. They purged their roster. You know why? Because they stink. He knows that. He's not trying to put lipstick on a pig. They announced they waived forward Taj Gibson. They waived their guards Elfrid Payton, Wayne Ellington, and declined the $15.75 million team option on Bobby Portis's contract. They also declined a $1.7 million option on Theo Pinson's deal, and they waived the forward Kenny Wooten. That adds up to $40 million by parting with six veteran players. They're aggressive. They're smart. They've got people that are connected. I'm telling you. They're competent. And I know that's not a high bar that they have to clear, but competent. They've been incompetent for a long time.
Yeah, what do we think that $40 million's for, most likely?
It could either be for signing Fred VanVleet,
which would be
or
great.
Making a trade for...
For Westbrook, right?
For Westbrook.
Yeah.
So the work's not done here. What are people... Crazy? Are they crazy? It's like that little kid crying when they took Porzingis. He had no idea who Porzingis was.
He did turn out to be right, though.
Oh, no. Porzingis is a good player who was injury prone. The Knicks messed that up.
Bro, the kid's crying was still right, though.
How was it right?
That he cried because he said, oh, my God, this is another Knicks disaster. And he was right about that. It was another Knicks disaster.
Well, they could have taken LeBron James. It would be a disaster. Because they make everything a disaster. I think that this group of people knows what they're doing.
So.
They're basketball people.
I just don't know
people.
How you can be, honestly, and even the people that are over the top loving it, you got to just wait and see. I don't think there's anything wrong with the pick. We're gonna see. But you know, how many people do we talk to, whether it was Seth yesterday or you know, following everybody around college basketball, that this was a draft that you really 1 through 8, maybe 1 through 20. We didn't know who was going to be the absolute best player. It could have been anybody. So people fall in love with Hal Burton because that seemed like what everybody, when we asked, who do you want, that's the guy that they seemed to project out to get. And it was also a position of need. But as Michael said earlier, they need everything. So if there's a draft where, and if there's a team that needs to take the best available player, it's the Knicks. So if they like the kid and he wants to be here, then let's go for it. Let's see. But I can't see, like, worshiping the pick, and I can't see hating the pick.
Well, maybe, just maybe, they're in a situation where luck is starting to come their way. They wanted Toppin from the beginning. And that's why they made the trade earlier in the day to move up to 23, because there was some thought, let's package 23 and 8 to move up, because they were afraid that Cleveland was going to take Toppin. Because Dayton's in Ohio, Cleveland, whatever, and the kid's a good player, National Player of the Year. And Cleveland took Okoro, so everything broke the Knicks' way. So you think maybe if Toppin was taken and they stayed at eight, maybe they do take the point guard. But you know what they did? They took the player that they liked the most.
Well, that's it.
They
that's
didn't go by need for. Because there is no need on a team that needs everything.
And if you are of the feeling that I don't trust this team, so I don't care that they liked him, well, then you weren't going to like anything they did.
Right. So why bother?
So why even bother?
Right.
I think people are afraid to fall in love because they're always disappointed, so the knee-jerk reaction is to be disappointed. And that's what kind of what I expected with the draft pick. But last night and early today and listening to the shows leading up, everybody seems to think, good pick. It's a good pick. We'll have to wait and see, but it's a good pick. So I think anybody complaining is complaining because they just love complaining. And it's easy to do that. And it's easy to say it's going to be a disaster because you're playing the odds, right? Because that's what the draft has been for this team for the last 20 years. But so far, so good. And Peter's right. To be a fan of a team in this city and to see the emotion of a player who wants to be here, that's happy to be here. He's a Brooklyn kid, and I heard Wally Szczerbiak's interview with him on MSG about how he wants to change the culture, and he wants to be a leader on the team, and he wants to bring these guys together because he believes the best way to win is when all the players believe in each other. He said all the right things. That's great. I love that kind of stuff. Now you got to go out there and play. But this isn't somebody that just, you know, is just happy to be drafted. He's happy to be drafted by the Knicks.
Short of Zion Williamson, right? A draft pick is a crapshoot. Okay? So we can sit here and celebrate.
Even he was a crapshoot.
I'm sorry?
Even he was a crapshoot.
And even he was in some ways, right? But most people thought he'd be great. But by and large, celebrating draft day is ridiculous because, listen, you don't know what you're going to get in 6 months. And in this case, a month.
Well,
so the only thing that you can really celebrate when you're still trying to figure it out is how the player feels about coming to your team.
It.
And what you got was a kid who was inconsolable and whose parents were clapping and cheering at the words New York Knicks.
Right.
My God, that's awesome in 2020 to get that.
That is so cool. And also, you got to be careful, too, about judging all of these draft picks. Camp opens on December 1st. They're drafted on November 18th, and their camp opens in 2 weeks.
It's crazy.
Fascinating.
And then 3 weeks later, the season starts. So this guy will be all of a Knick for 5 weeks when he hits the court for the first time. So let's not get too crazy for any of these guys and how they're going to be in the NBA, because this is not, you know, getting drafted in June, Michael, and then not worrying about entering camp until late September, you know, or early October.
You know what works in the Knicks' favor here, though, Don? He's 22. He's not like these 18, 19-year-olds. This guy's a man. So he's going to come as a more fully formed player and not really have to learn and grow. When you're 18 or 19, I mean, you remember when you were 18 or 19. It's a lot different being 22 years old. He's going to play at the age of 23. That's a significant thing in a year like this.
It is a huge deal. And I think that's going to help him tremendously over a lot of the other kids that are like 2 years younger than he is.
All right, let's give some love to the other team in town. They have not pulled any trigger on the James Harden situation, but they traded their 19th pick for Landry Shamet. Landry Shamet can shoot the basketball, and that's what the Nets need to surround their stars. So it also is a little bit of a hedge against if Joe Harris does sign somewhere else. But I think that Harris will stay. So Harris stays, and Shamet is a guy who shoots about 40% from three-point land. And they trade the 19th pick, and you might say, wow, just for a guy that comes off the bench to shoot? Yeah, the guy's 23, and he has a low salary. It's a smart play by Sean Marks. They're trying to win right now, and I think this is a smart play.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yes, he's putting together a big show, which you can hear at 7 o'clock today. Watch at 7 o'clock after our show. It's a Nets Hot Stove show. So they will break this down. And we're going to talk Nets in the 5 o'clock hour as well. But, again, 40.2%. 40.2% Shamet shoots from three-point in his short career. That's good. That's exactly what they need. They've got the stars. And they still kept their assets where if they do want to make that move on Harden. And now the talk is that if they have to get Harden, or if they want to get Harden, they don't have the star, so to speak, to bring a Harden in. The Rockets want a equal type of star. It's going to be very tough to do. But the Nets, and Sean Marks is so smart, they can work a three-way where the star could come from another team, and then the Nets could send their assets to that team. So I don't think the Harden thing is dead. I like the way the Rockets are approaching this. We're not giving anything away just because a player wants it, but this is the way it's going to roll. So for now, Net fans have to look at it this way. They're putting all the pieces together. And when you consider you've got Kevin Durant, and then you've got Kyrie Irving, and then you got really good players like Caris LeVert, and then Jared Allen, and Joe Harris, and Spencer Dinwiddie, and now you add Shamet. I mean, they're doing all the right things, even if they... And you heard what Jeff Van Gundy said, everybody. I hope you were listening at 5 o'clock. He said, even without the trade, you know what? They're good enough to win a championship. And they didn't do anything to change that yesterday. I like what they did. I like what they did. I think it was a good job by them.
Either way, because you heard Jeff Van Gundy very bullish on them, even if they don't make the deal for Harden. So you've got to move forward as if you're not going to make that deal. And if you make it, you make it. But they're still in good position either way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's see if we take some phone calls or we do the contest for... Ah, we have time for phone calls. Let's go to... Let's go to Emmanuel in Flushing. Emmanuel.
Hey guys, how y'all doing?
What's good. How are you?
I'm good. Before I bring up the Knicks, Peter, would you tell your fellow Bostonian Bobby Brown my hearts and condolences? Because I just found out he lost his son. Rest in peace, Bobby Brown Jr. Would you do that for me?
I am not a Bostonian. I'm just a Celtics fan. But it is very, very sad. I thought the same thing. Just so sad that he's going through this again.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to bring up the Knicks. Listen, I like the pick. I think that with what that young man is, I mean, I saw the interview, and he really wants it. He wants the pressure, just like R.J. Barrett. And I think at some point, listen, at the end of the day, you can't please everybody. And the Knicks, I like what the Knicks are doing. And I know that there are some fans may not like it. You can't please everybody. At the end of the day, they did the – listen – What I like about Leon and the Knicks for office, they were patient and they got it right. So if I were some Knicks fans who are against the trade, can we just pump the brakes before we would voice our opinion like a year from now?
Well, I mean, obviously, Emmanuel, we thank you for the phone call. You're allowed to voice your opinion, but those that say they didn't like the pick, they're wrong. We don't know if Obi Toppin's going to be a great player, but they've liked this guy from the beginning. And I think you made a good point with the patience they showed. They didn't rush. They didn't trade the 23rd pick that they acquired and combine it with the 8th to move ahead of Cleveland. They waited. They saw the way the draft was breaking down. And you know what that is? That's competency.
Yeah.
That's competency. That's something that we have not seen in the orange and blue. I'm sorry. So I give them credit, Don. I think they did a good job. This is the guy they wanted. Go to Spike in New Jersey.
Hey, fellas. This is terrific. I was very comfortable. I saw the father play down in the cage in West 4th and up at Rucker. Father was a street ball legend for the Brooklyn Flyers. And if you go on YouTube, the father, if you look him up, he looks like Amari Stoudemire in the face. This kid's got a motor. He can pick and pop, and he can pick and roll. And his deficiencies, according to him, I watched him about 4 games, maybe 3 games, the year before. He didn't shoot much from the outside. This kid needs work on the defensive end, and you couldn't get a better coach. So now you got to figure Tibbs looked at films and said, get him, I can fix him. And that's all you need. He's got a motor. What is he, 6'8", 6'9"? Mm-hmm. He can really shoot. Yeah, so we'll see what happens. But you said it at the beginning, Michael. I didn't know that up until I clicked it on. $34 million he cleared, Leon. So if he
million.
Did that.
40. 40 million.
40?
Yeah.
They're getting Westbrook. They're going to get Westbrook. And this team's going to run up and down the court at 90 miles an hour. So it'll bring some action back. One last thing. Shamet can shoot, but he can't shoot like Joe Harris. You know, there's a difference
there. No, but if you compare him with Joe, I mean, it does give them. I think they're going to sign Harris. But
they're going to sign Harris and Shamet?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They want Harris back. This way they have 2 sharpshooters.
Oh, gosh. They're going to be murdered because you got the Milwaukee. I don't think improved themselves that much. But last thing. So who are they going to give up? They're going to give up LeBron?
Bogdanovich is not coming to Milwaukee in all likelihood. That deal's done. Dead.
Oh, I'm behind the curve here, boy. Yeah. Oh, my God. So they lost their sharpshooter.
Right.
So I mean, wait a minute. Are they going to give up LeVert to get...
I think they would have to give up a package that includes LeVert in order to get Harden.
They have to make the money up, though, don't they? He's not a free agent.
No. They will be able to put together stuff that adds up to Harden's money. It would have to be a big package.
Wow. He did great. The front office did great yesterday. Kudos to him. Good luck to the young man. He sounded very. I'm from Brooklyn, and his father, you know, he's a legend. So I'm excited about this. And they start in about 15, 20 days. That'll be great. Well, boys, thanks for a great week.
You got it. And listen, because he'll be on with us at about. About 3:30. Let's go to Cody in Westbury. Cody.
Hey, guys. Always great to talk to you again. Leon Rose, I think he absolutely crushed it last night. I mean, Knicks fans who are looking for a reason to complain, I that's what it is. They're just looking for something to complain about. He was able to turn the 38th pick and the 27th pick into the 25th pick and the 33rd pick. I know those aren't like crazy numbers to jump up, but that shows me that he's got a pulse. He's doing something. He's making moves. You got a kid who wants to be here, who's got skill, and they don't overlook the fact that with the 25th pick, he got Emmanuel Quickley, who's a guard who can shoot. This kid shot 43% from three and 90% from the free throw line. Like, that's something. That's, and he was the SEC Player of the Year. Like, he's nothing to just shake your head at. So my hat goes off to Leon Rose last night, and I'm just looking forward to hopefully seeing Thibodeau get the best out of all these young kids now.
Well, great take by you. I mean, you certainly know what you're talking about, and the bottom line is, the weakness for Toppin, we'll talk with him in moments about it, is his defense. And now he's joining a coach whose strength is teaching defense. So, and even he knows it. So that's a good thing. All right. So we'll talk to the newest Nick, Obi Toppin, in just a moment. But remember, it's another 20 and 20 giveaway today.
That's right.
And we got a beauty that we're giving away. It's a Weber charcoal smoker.
Yeah.
Don's thinking about buying one to make the turkey for Thanksgiving in the smoker. And you know why we're doing this, right? For 20 days, we're giving away great, different prizes each day to thank you for listening and to make a lousy 2020 obviously a little bit better. So that's the bottom line. That's why we're doing it. And the way we're giving away these prizes is we're playing one of the great celebrity voices that we've had over the years on the show, and we're asking you to identify that voice. So let's listen right now to today's audio clue.
It's the Michael K. Show's 20 in 20.
I did call Mike Maccagnan before the 2018 draft. I recommended that he draft Lamar Jackson. I have a witness.
Really?
Yes, I have a witness.
Wow. I love it. I love it. We'll play that clue again right after the Toppin interview.
We shouldn't even have to.
No, I think we're going to. And then after that, in the last segment of this hour, we're going to give away that charcoal smoker. Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Phone lines are going to be jammed. Everyone wants in on this one. Trust me.
You know what? Just please.
What?
Curb your enthusiasm on this, all right? Well, people will do what they have to do.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Michael K. Show.
With the 8th pick in the 2020 NBA Draft, the New York Knicks select Obi Toppin from Dayton University.
I'm from New York. That's why it's important. Me repping my city is amazing. A lot of people pray to be in this position, and I'm not going to take it for granted. I promise you that.
And what you got was a kid who was inconsolable and whose parents were clapping and cheering at the words New York Knicks.
Right.
My God, that's awesome in 2020.
This is the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Ah, yeah. Strong first hour. Gave away a great gift to a great listener. And tomorrow it continues in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll tell you what tomorrow's gift is going to be. Also, we have a big gift tomorrow. We make our picks, which is highly anticipated, widely awaited. So, done some work. I've actually given some thought to tonight's game.
I have.
You have. Don't get choked up about it. Are you going with it?
I don't have to decide now.
Well, I mean, what if 100% says you're going with it? What number are you at?
Well, I'm still at 50-50.
How about you, Peter? Obviously, you don't know who's playing, but are you thinking about going with it?
Obviously.
Well, this is one of those games again that I made a decision on last week, a 50-50 game, which in one sense is appealing, because you're like, oh, I don't really have to worry about points. I'm just kind of picking someone here. But I... What's the line at now? Is it 2.5? 1.5?
No, it's 3.5.
Oh, it's already... Oh, so take back everything I just said. That was a waste of everything.
And it's a bit... It's not just one of these, like, you know, throw up in your mouth Thursday night games. It's a big game. Cardinals at Seahawks.
Wait. The Seahawks are favored by 3.5?
Yes.
Yeah, it's in Seattle. And this is a battle for first place in the NFC West. Seahawks have been playing terribly. Cardinals with that breathtaking Hail Mary to win on Sunday. So this is a gigantic game. Quick turnaround for both teams.
I'll tell you right now, this game tempts me. I've been so bad on Thursdays, though, I'm probably going to be smart. I'm probably going to be a Don LaGreca here. But I don't care. I'll show my hand. I stink anyway. It's hard for me to picture Seattle's defense having a solution for Kyler Murray.
That wouldn't be the way that I'm leaning.
Really?
Yep.
I don't know, man. This Arizona team, when are we going to believe them? It might be time to believe them.
I don't believe them.
You want to go heads up? 3 points each?
I don't know if I don't believe them that much.
That could tempt me. You tell me right now you're willing to go heads up. I'll do it. I'm crazy, man. Oh, no. My camera fell again.
Why does your camera continue to fall?
I don't understand. Because it's a cell phone. But
why don't you hire a kid from outside to hold the phone for 4 hours?
I don't want someone in my space for that long. It was just bad luck. I hit the table too hard. Anyways, you want to do this, man? Throw it on the table.
I said I'm thinking about it. I'm like, Don, I'm probably at 60, not 50.
60?
Yeah.
That sounded like us doing math.
The hook is a bit of a dilemma for me.
What is?
The hook.
You know who could push me over the top? Maybe RJ.
Which way?
He could push you over the top. If he loves the way I'm leaning, then I'm not going to pick it.
But if he's with me, if he likes Arizona, you could go Seattle.
A Seattle.
I'm gonna pick it.
You're going to pick it?
I just want a little time to allocate points.
Oh, wow. Don's going to think. This is a big, big deal. Okay.
I think it's gigantic.
Take your time, Don. You have that right.
That's right.
And you know, in answer to your question, Peter, I do not believe in the Cardinals.
No.
No, I don't. To me, they're a paper tiger. There is a way to play Kyler Murray. There just is.
Well, it seems if that story is true, it seems that it takes time to figure out how to do it. It's Lamar. They seem to be catching up with Lamar, but it took a year and a half. So I don't think they're figuring out Kyler this weekend.
They don't have this weekend. He's going to be off, but today they have to figure him out.
You're going to take it, Peter?
I'm considering it.
Well, yeah. Why are you pushing us, Don? I don't understand. What's the urgency? I was asked.
So I'm just asking back. That's all.
Well, I'm thinking about it.
I gotta take a gander. You know, I got to make a move on you guys. I've basically gotten 3 points, 3 or 4 points every week for the last 5 weeks, and I've made almost no ground on you guys.
You do realize that if you get it wrong, you could be putting yourself to sleep. We're running out of time.
Well, if Don and I went heads up like big points here, you're talking about if I lose at any point three more points to either of you guys, what am I down, 8 to each of you?
Yep.
Like, I got to cut it to 5. If it goes to 11, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, I think you're in trouble now.
No, I don't. I actually feel like I've been just steadily building the right direction, and now I had to get my confidence back. And now that my confidence is back...
Why would your confidence be back?
I'm ready to make a move. Because I started off terribly.
Yeah, you haven't been that much better.
No, I have. I was 7-5 going into last week over the last month, and then I went 2-1 last week. So I'm nine and six over the last 5 weeks.
Well, listen, do what you feel.
You sound like you're trying to convince yourself.
I mean, 9-6. I'll tell you what that makes me. It makes me 3 games better than RJ Bell.
I don't understand why you're killing our guest. I don't get it.
I'll make my selection during Ina.
All right.
Just remember to ask me, Peter.
So instead of hello, Don, Sarah, are you going to make the pick?
No, no, no. Whenever he feels comfortable. I'm sure he's
going to pick Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. So, basketball is a big part of what we've been talking about today, and we should. You've got a situation where I thought the Knicks did well with Obi Toppin and the sharpshooter from Kentucky, Quigley. I like the picks. I like the way Leon Rose ran the draft. So kudos to him and to the Knicks. I like what the Nets did. I'm in a good mood. I like what the Nets did. Shamit's a good shooter. That's what they need to pair with Joe Harris. You've got to surround both of those star players because people are going to double-team them. There are going to be a lot of open shots. You have to have guys to make them pay. The Nets are a heavily analytical team. That being said, they know the value of threes. I think they took the fifth most threes in all of basketball last year. They didn't hit enough to be widely successful, and they had a lot of injuries as well. I think they're constructing the team the right way, and the possibility of getting James Harden still exists. Doesn't seem as hot as it was, but it does still exist. You put him into the mix, I think he got some fun in Brooklyn. Fun in Brooklyn. And that's what I like. Cole Anthony did not fall as far as we thought he was going to fall. He goes with the 15th pick to North Carolina, and when the camera was on him, he just lost it. This kid, when he signed with North Carolina, was going to be one of the top three picks in this year's draft. That was the thought. That's how good he was. But he got injured. This is a North Carolina team that did not surround him with talent. Roy Williams did not go to do a good job putting talent around him, and I think that hurt his stock. But he fell to just 15. Some people thought that he would fall more, but he fell to 15, and that's a good deal for him. It was interesting watching the draft yesterday. My favorite moment. Malika Andrews is interviewing the kid from, was it Lithuania? You know the guy, Argentina.
Okay.
And she asked him one question, and he's thrilled to, I even forget which team he was on. And he said, okay, and she just asked him one question, she said, thank you, now back to Reese. And then they go to Woj, and the guy was traded in an eye blink. It was so perfect. So perfect. It was live TV at its best, and I thought the whole crew did a great job. Schmitz did a good job, and Williams.
They had a good moment yesterday, too. I guess it was right after the Knicks pick, right after Obi. Because it was so emotional, and then they tossed to Woj, and Woj spoke on it, and I think it was Reese who then said, oh my God, I was scared when I went to you, you were going to tell me that the pick was traded. Right after we saw this kid cry his eyes out because he's so excited to be a Knick. And of course, that's not what happened. Also, maybe people could have done a better job at least lying to us and not showing us that they had 15 people in their living room.
You know what, Peter? You and I both continually get upset with it. Stop it. People don't care anymore. People don't give a bleep. They don't care. Thanksgiving, people are going to be loaded into their houses. We can't sit here and be the scolds. It doesn't work. It's not convincing us otherwise. We saw it with the Notre Dame game. People don't care.
Why not? But why couldn't the NBA say, hey, guys, we understand this is a big deal for you. After the TV portion, you're going to do what you're going to do. But for us as a marketing for our league, we want four people there. That's it. We don't want to see six people. Some people I saw literally close to 20 people. Like, it's a bad look for the NBA, which is currently, they just played in a bubble. And everyone's just having parties on draft night?
People think it's over. They don't look at the numbers. Well,
but it's not wrong for Peter to point it out. And you're the NBA or you're these major sports leagues, like the NFL's fining and taking draft picks away from coaches that don't have masks on. So obviously they care about the perception. So the league cares about the perception. Peter's right. Have as many people. I can't control who's in your house. You're not breaking any laws technically. But you know what? For our optic, only allow four people in the shot.
Yeah, everyone didn't care. It was crazy.
Well, but I don't know if they don't care. I don't think people think it's going to happen to them. And I don't know if people believe the numbers. So I read a story the other day where a nurse I believe from South Dakota, was talking to a reporter and said, you know, people that are dying in the hospital, they can't believe they're dying in the hospital. They can't believe it. They thought it was, they think it, they don't think it's true. And they're sitting there taking their last breath, and the nurse said when they should be FaceTiming their family, they're so angry and upset that they bought the actual pablum, that this is not a big deal, and now they're taking the last breaths ever. And I just, I wish that everybody would read that story, because it's not fake, it's real. And you're right, Peter, the NBA does hold some responsibility. Don't have 40 people in a room.
I'm going to say, I'll say this, and this is the same conversation I had with my brother, right?
Nick.
That's right, my brother Nick. I hit up Nick the other day, and I said, hey, we haven't talked in a while about mom and dad. You know, they're spending Thanksgiving with me, and I'm getting to, everyone's being tested. I'm only going to have, you know, four people in my house. Everyone's being tested. But I said, we need to be really careful with mom and dad. My parents are in their early 70s. And I said, have you thought about, you know, just how the, how your kids are acting, like what my niece and nephew are doing, and how much they're interacting with my parents, which, by the way, my parents won't go inside with my niece and nephew who are 12. They just don't, I think, trust that, you know, that they don't see enough that they see too many people. So my point is this. I said, and I think this is an important thing to say, there are people who lived through phase one, watched the entire thing, and made it with no problem, who are not going to make it through phase two. And some may be listening to us right now. You made it through phase one. Your parents made it through phase one. Everyone made it. And if we now act like it's over because we've lasted long enough, you may join the group who doesn't make it through phase two. And everyone can do them. I'm making sure for me and mine and my parents, I am buckling down again to make sure that my parents make it through phase two. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Especially now where they're, the first time around, we didn't see a light at the end of the tunnel. Now the light's there.
Right.
Right? The vaccine, it's on its way. It may not be as quick as we want it to be, but this could all be over in by June. Right? So do you want to be the ones that don't make it because you just couldn't be patient for just a few more months after you spent 8 months basically locked down? And this spike, it seems like it's self-inflicted, right? Yeah, it's because the weather's cooling down, but a lot of it's just because, at least here in New Jersey, Governor Murphy believes that this big spike is a lot because people were partying on Halloween.
And
so there's going to be a spike because of Thanksgiving and then for Christmas as well, that if we're just a little bit more responsible.
Well, do you remember when everyone was worried about, people wanted to be outside for July 4th? So, because everyone wanted to be outside for July 4th, we don't get to have Thanksgiving. It's the same thing, guys. We got to look ahead. If you're so worried about Thanksgiving and Christmas, you're not going to get Easter. Like, we have to at some point make the choice to end this thing. And I feel like this is an easy opportunity in the sense that I know we want to be around people. We all do, believe me. I want to be around my niece and nephew for Thanksgiving. It's a bummer that I'm not going to be with them. But if we continue to do this, we don't know when we'll get to bounce back. What, when it's fully distributed and the vaccine's fully distributed? We don't know exactly when that is.
Let's go to the phones. Al in the Bronx. Al.
Hello?
Hello, Al.
What up, Al?
It's AJ.
AJ. I can't read. Hey, what's going on? That's my fault.
I was just calling to say, you know, I agree with Michael in the beginning. You guys have to understand, people are not going to listen. And honest to God, if I'm getting drafted in the NBA, the NBA or you or anybody's going to tell me who I can have in my living room or in the shot.
That's see, but AJ, personally. I'll stop. I'll let and you finish
hold
your
on,
point.
Hold on, hold on.
Well, I said I'll let you finish your point. The okay. NBA, if they told those kids, by the way, when your name is announced, we want you standing on your head. You know what? They'd stand on their head.
I doubt my mother and my father and my uncle would be like, oh, yeah, we're not going to be in a shot. We're going to stand to the side. No. They're going to hug me. They're going to kiss me. This is my lifelong dream. I'm just talking realistic to you guys. And from the culture that most of those guys are from, I know nobody on that show right now understands what I'm saying. I'm telling you right now, nobody in that family is going to take that and say, oh, I'm going to stand to the side and listen to them. No. From where those guys are from what they have to deal with, now they're in the NBA, mom, dad, uncle, cousin, everyone will
be in
that.
So you're saying because these kids are coming from backgrounds where they don't have a lot, if they're
I didn't say don't have a lot. I said from the culture. I didn't say so don't have a lot.
So are you talking about black? Are you saying that black families wouldn't be able to have the discipline?
So what are you saying then?
What are you saying then? Use words.
You're saying culture. What are you saying?
I'm from Brooklyn, New York. This is where I grew up. There's a certain attitude and a certain grit these kids grew up with. And they got that from growing up, and it's a lifestyle, and it comes from the family. You're not going to tell my mom and dad, or you're not going to be in shock.
AJ, if your mom and dad, if you were about to get paid an obscene amount of money, and you said, and you said, this place that's about to pay me this obscene amount of money, here's the deal.
Yeah.
They need you to wait 5 minutes till we can celebrate. Your family wouldn't be disciplined enough to go, oh, we'll wait 5 minutes. They would say, no, screw that. Throw the dreams away. Don't even get the money because we need to celebrate.
The NBA is still drafting them, whether my mom's in a shot or not. They're not throwing their dreams away. If they don't listen to the rules, guess what? They're still drafting. The NBA is not going to draft you anymore.
But come on, AJ.
It's a silly argument.
Let's say the NBA and ESPN said, just for the optics, that we don't want to send the wrong message. Four people is the limit. And if you want to have 100 people, then you're not going to be on camera, and you're not going to celebrate, and you're not going to be interviewed. You'll still be drafted, but you're not going to get everything else that you should get. What would they do?
Mike, what I'm saying to you is this. I want you to understand what I'm saying to you. Even if you say that to me, let's say I'm getting drafted right now. I know my family. I know the things we've been through. Right? I understand what you're saying. I'm trying to get you to understand what I'm saying. Once they hear, and now with the third pick of the NBA draft, the blah, blah, blah draft AJ, I'm telling you the emotions my family will have, some rules will be broken.
AJ, you're saying that the three of us don't understand. Of all the people you're talking to, okay?
Wait a second. I understand.
I grew up in the South Bronx, okay? And you know what I'm doing for this Thanksgiving? And we thank you for the call. I'm not seeing my sister and her kids and her husband. Something I've done for the last 40 years of my life. I'm not doing it. I grew up in the same area that you're saying that these kids grew up. The same culture. I grew up in the South Bronx, apartment 8M at 950 Evergreen Avenue. It's not culture. It's stupidity.
See, that's just the attitude that gets us in trouble. Well, I grew up in a world where I don't get told what to do. You can't tell that I love my parents too much. Or they can't control themselves. Come on. That has nothing to do with culture. Well, listen, I love my mom and my family, and just as much as you love your family and Peter loves his family. I don't care if you grew up in Chevy Chase, Maryland, Hawthorne, New Jersey, or the Bronx.
But it's
that attitude of you can't tell me what to do. You can't tell me how I'm supposed to live my life that has put us in the situation that we're in right now, because the coronavirus doesn't care about any of that.
Well, listen,
it's about you being positive, going to Thanksgiving with the best of intentions. Or you AJ's, going to the draft party, and somebody, Peter's asymptomatic there, and kisses somebody they're not supposed to kiss, and then a person gets the coronavirus, and they die. Do you think it's okay? Because it was a special occasion. You know, Ryan Rucco wanted to have a wedding, right? A big, huge wedding in Italy. Couldn't do it. Had to make sacrifices. I mean, everybody's had to make sacrifices. The bigger the event, the bigger the emotion. The coronavirus doesn't care about that.
Let's go to Craig in Piscataway. Craig.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Craig.
Hey, I got to say, Peter, I'm a big fan of yours, and both here and High 97. I appreciate everything that you do for the culture.
Thanks,
but
man.
I got to say, it's somewhat of a fraud behavior, right?
If
your parents are, and I heard you on High 97 this morning, talking about like the mac and cheese and all of that, but even how do you know that those people that were there were tested, number one? And then number two...
How do I know they were or were not?
We're not tested.
No, they may have been. They may have been. I'm not saying that those people that were there were necessarily unsafe. Maybe they were all tested. I'm talking about the image you're putting forward, though. When you see 15, 20 people partying in a house the week before Thanksgiving. I'm not saying that they were being unsafe. You're right. They all got tested.
And also, too, you said that you're having your parents come up. Wouldn't you say there's some risk involved in that? I'm not, my parents are older. You know what me and my family are doing? We normally host Thanksgiving. We're ordering Chinese food because we don't want we don't want that, the whole thing to be about, well, you're having it here, you're having it. It's pretty much canceled for everybody. And, I mean, you do what you do. Like, I get it, man.
This whole thing, is about, in my opinion, and I hear you. You have the right to call me out.
I'm not an anti. I am absolutely 100% like not one of these idiot anti-maskers or anything like that. Don't misconstrue what
I don't take it that way. Let me just say this. To me, it's all about calculated risks, right? Like, I travel for WWE. I am this weekend going to Survivor Series. I will be tested when I go. I'll be tested when I get back. I bought first-class tickets so I can stay away from everyone. I wear a heavy-duty mask and a shield. When I get there, I don't do anything. I'm not saying anyone needs to not live their life. I'm saying when you live your life, what sort of effort are you putting in? And then deciding what those risks are. I get it. My parents and I don't have to see each other over Thanksgiving. We could choose not to. However, we are choosing to do it with having everyone test and be safe. So I don't think there's one set rule that you have to do it this way or have to do it that way. But you have to do something. And the problem with what we're talking about last night is when you put out the image of people just having casual parties with 15, 20 people in a house, how are you affecting everyone else who's absorbing this?
Now, let's actually get back into the basketball aspect. Mark Stein of the Times writes, and this is surprising me. I wonder if it surprises you, Peter. The Knicks have been aggressive in their pursuit of Gordon Hayward all week, sources say. Amid a growing belief league-wide that Hayward will decline his $34 million player option for next season, New York may loom as Hayward's best option given all the Knicks' newfound cap space. Hayward's official decision on the Boston player option for next season is due at 5 p.m. today. If he declines the option to become an unrestricted free agent, it's the strongest signal yet he has a landing spot on a multi-year deal via free agency once the market opens at 6 p.m. Let me put it this way, and Mark didn't exactly say this. If you decline an option at $34 million, somebody's willing to pay you $35.
Yes.
And what that tells me is the Knicks are going to pay this. That's why they cleared all that space.
$40 million.
Gordon Hayward $35 rather than pay Russell Westbrook $40. And remember, to get Westbrook, you got to trade something. This way they get Hayward for nothing but money, which they have. And they keep all of the assets that remain, including their draft picks, and Russell Westbrook could go somewhere else. That's what that tells me. Because we said it yesterday, Hayward ain't opting out of $34 million if there's not $35 somewhere. Would make sense. I never thought he'd get $35. This is a guy who I believe is not as good as he was before he hurt his leg. But maybe the Knicks see something else. Or maybe he's a CAA client. 1-800-919-3776. We'll talk more about this, R.J. Bell, at the end of the hour. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you, right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, I've got some information on tonight's game, which I think I'd like to disseminate to the people.
Sure. Which Don already said he's playing, by the way.
Yes. Yeah, well, I'll give him some, maybe this information from our producer on the television side, Anthony Greek. Seahawks are 9-1 on Thursday night since 2010.
That's right.
The Cardinals, 4-1 the last five games they played in Seattle. Cardinals inside the division are 13-3-2 in their last 18 divisional road games. This is all against the spread. So the Cardinals are 3.5-point underdogs in Seattle tonight. Mm. Now, I think that number would be higher if there was a crowd in that stadium, which is the 12th man.
Right.
So do those numbers sway you anyway, Don?
Well, no, because here's what I did. I had a feeling about this game, even before I looked at the number. Because I was looking at this, and I was like, are the Cardinals going to sweep the series against Seattle? Is Seattle going to lose three in a row? Remember, it was probably the game of the year when these two hooked up in Arizona. Game of the year. And Seattle could have very easily won and covered if not for a holding penalty, if you remember. So this could be a great game. This is one of the best Thursday night games we've had in a long time. I think it's the best Thursday night game of the year.
Would you say this is like Suzanne Summers, 1980?
Yeah, this is
no,
Suzanne
I
Summers.
Think it's Farrah Fawcett, 1970s.
Wow. You know what? I was always a Cheryl Teagues, not Cheryl Teagues, Cheryl Ladd. When we were doing the whole Charlie's Angels thing back in the day, I'm talking to you, Michael, because Peter was not with us at that time.
Yeah, he's glazing over. He's saying, "Well, Drew Barrymore is Charlie's Angels."
I was young, so I didn't fully comprehend all the feelings, but I always loved Cheryl Ladd, and I wrote a letter to Cheryl Ladd.
Really?
Oh, goodness,
Don, please tell us what was in the letter.
I can't remember the details.
Do you remember the details when the officers came over and issued a restraining order on you?
No, I wrote a letter. Peter, he's making this filthy. All right? 10-year-old Don LaGreca, a little crush on Cheryl Ladd. I asked my dad, can I get a Cobra? Because she had that Mustang Cobra, which was a complete, like, woman's type car. But I didn't care. I wanted the car that Cheryl Ladd drove in.
So wait, you know what? This is actually not that creepy. It wasn't a love letter. You just idolized her.
Well, I mean, it was a love letter for a 10-year-old. So, you know, there's nothing sexual about a 10-year-old having a crush on Cheryl Ladd. It was all about, you know, angling to get some sort of, like, picture or poster or something.
It was still a crush.
Yeah. At 10 years old, I had a crush on Bobby Mercer, and he had a crush on Cheryl Ladd. What a different path we've taken.
That's not true.
And I was always a little different. Like, everybody, because this is right during the Cheryl Teagues craze, where everybody had that Cheryl Teagues poster. Remember, Michael?
Mm-hmm.
You probably look it up on the internet if you're home. But I wasn't that guy. I wanted a Cheryl Ladd, and there's no Cheryl Ladd poster. So I wrote her asking her if there was any kind of picture that she could send. And it must have been like 6 months. I thought it was all forgotten about. She sent like a whole like fan pack of like
really
photos get from the
great Christmas story
from the TV show and stuff. It was really nice in a letter.
And
I don't know what happened to it, but that was a special moment.
Did you unburden yourself?
There's nothing to unburden at 10. I was just happy to have pictures to hang up in my room that weren't like, you know, pictures of cubbage.
I'm not going to mock Don when I bothered Salma Hayek's publicist about about getting a drop for my college radio show like every week for years.
Wow. Here's a Woj bomb.
Oh, here we go. It's probably a grenade.
These aren't even grenades.
You have not had a bomb all day.
Golden State nearing a deal with Oklahoma City to acquire Kelly Oubre Jr. Sources tell ESPN. So they're maneuvering to replace Klay Thompson.
It's not even a fire.
Please continue on your very boring Salma Hayek.
Well, that has to require even knowing that Kelly Oubre was in Oklahoma City.
He just got traded there. How would you not know that?
So then one day I'm sitting at my friend Christian's house, Don, and guess what? I get a call from a 323 number, and I answer, and the person says, "Hey, this is Jake Julie from Baker, Winoker, and Ryder. I have your
What's up, babies?
I have your request here for Salma Hayek." I said, "Oh, well, yeah. I mean, you've had that request on your desk for 3 years. She's actually going to do it right now. I just wanted to see what number she should call." And I said, "Well, if it's possible, she could call this number. I'd love to say hello." And she did. And I talked to Salma Hayek.
For how long?
About an hour. We had sex a week later. It was unbelievable. Just kidding.
Well, that's a great story. He spiced
about 30 seconds, but I have the drop. I have the drop from my...
We're going to need to hear it tomorrow.
No. You don't have to wait till tomorrow.
You have it right now.
You can hear it right this second. Here you go. You ready?
Yep.
Oh my God, I have the actual long recorded version from my voicemail. Let me let you hear the actual proper edit here.
Hey, this is Salma Hayek, and you're listening to the great
DMD
right here on From Dusk
Till
Dawn.
Wow.
What is that? Don, you hear that?
Yeah, that's...
That's the kind of thing you unburden yourself to, you know what I'm saying?
That is...
Can we go back to sports right now? Let's go to Billy in Staten Island. Billy.
Reluctantly.
Hey, guys.
Bill.
I just wanted to talk about the Knicks. I like the direction that they're heading. It's the first time, you know, I'm 30 years old. It's the first time in my life, you know, I caught the end of the era 90s. And it's the first time in my life that they're actually heading in the right direction. Now, this Gordon Hayward rumor, I'm not really liking that.
How come?
If they do it on the 1 year where they just pick up the 1 year, I'm okay with it. But Julius Randle then has to be traded. He's a logjam at the power forward. He's not built for today's NBA game, and I think it really hurts our development of the young players, especially at that position.
Well, maybe they will. That's why I say you can't really judge everything, Bill. And we thank you for the phone call until you see what they put on the court on December 22nd. And just think about what he just said. He's a 30-year-old man. That's not even a kid anymore. He's a 30-year-old man. He's rooted for the Knicks. He's seen nothing. Think about that. The last time they were good, he couldn't even appreciate it. He's seen nothing. He's 30 years old.
No, it's embarrassing. And we're never mind the championship, because that hasn't happened since 73. We're talking 2000 conference finals Pacers, right? That's the closest they've been. It's 20 years ago. By the time they get to the playoffs this year, Michael, it'll be 21 years. You're allowed to drink at 21, right?
So this is a streak that can drink.
If you were born on the day that Ewing missed that shot against the Pacers, it could be any shot. It could have been the 95 finger roll, whatever. Then you're a grown man, and that's just a conference final appearance, Michael. We're not talking championship. You want to talk a final appearance? You got to go back to the year before to 99. If you want to talk about championship, a realistic shot at a championship, because they weren't beating the Spurs in 99. You got to go back to 94. That's 26. And if you want to go back to the championship, that's 47. So we're just talking about a trip to the conference final. That's not that. I mean, listen, it's nice to go to the conference final, right? But it shouldn't be what a 21-year-old person, or I guess somebody that's 30, because they got to remember that it happened, circles as their greatest Nick moment. A trip to the conference final 20 years ago.
Even
the Jets went to the back-to-back championship games.
Let's go to Danny in Jersey. Danny.
Michael. John, Danny. How we doing?
Good, how are you?
All right, listen, Gordon Hayward is Kiki Vandeweghe revisited. We ran that play before.
He's better than Kiki Vandeweghe.
I mean, if you've been around for a while, and you guys have, you remember when they thought Kiki had something left.
Right. He's better than Kiki.
Wasn't Kiki old? How old was Kiki by then?
Kiki was about where Gordon's at. He's about 30, maybe early 30s, and he had already been through some major.
Was it that bad
injury.
Though?
Huh?
Kiki wasn't that bad.
Also, Kiki Hayward's better.
Done. Kiki was done at that point, and unfortunately, the Knicks were holding on to something that he was in college. He never became that player really in the pros. And unfortunately, injury sapped it. So, Gordon, you're getting that guy right now. Let's not go down that road, please.
So what are you doing with the money? You got to spend the money. People don't understand the cap. You got to spend the money. So what are you doing?
Build.
Build with what?
Wait
a second. What youth is out there to get in a free agent market? Tell me. I'd love to hear it. What youth is out there?
Michael, I got to tell you. All right. The Spurs, the Golden State Warriors, all these teams found somebody that somebody thought, hey, you know what, I'm not going to draft that guy until, the 19th or the 35th or whatever pick. And that person turns out to be Jimmy Butler or turns out to be this person.
But
you're talking,
but they're not in the free agent market.
I understand.
But you don't understand. You're not understanding. Because they have to spend the $40 million. How are they going to do it? Tell me. You want Fred VanVleet for 35? I'm not even saying they're going to get Gordon Hayward, but they've got to spend the money. I love these people. They want to build. All right, let's make it 20 years in a row without a playoff appearance. Are you all out of your mind?
Right.
I'm not saying spend the money and sign him to a 5-year deal. I'm not saying that. And I'm not even saying going to get him. But the fact that build with youth, tell me the youth on the free agent market. I'll listen that you're going to spend your $40 million on. Tell me. I'll wait.
I thought we were getting off that whole kick, too, of hoping to get those players. And how old is he now, Hayward?
I got to look it up.
Kiki was 31,
I think. I think Hayward's 31.
Right, and his first full season with the Knicks in 89-90, he was 31. So it's a good comparison as far as age is concerned.
He's 30.
Right. He'll be 31 in March.
He'll be 53 next Saturday.
But, you know, clearly he was I think, more past his prime than Hayward is right now. But even in 90-91, Michael, he averaged 16.3 points per game and averaged 17 points in the playoffs.
And Hayward this year, now I know he got hurt in the playoffs, he averaged 17.5 points per game, 4.1 assists. He shoots 50% from the field, about 39% from three-point land. This is not a bad player. Now, we all think that $35 million is a little bit crazy. I get it. But you do have to spend the money. Right, so he had two injury-plagued years in 17-18 and 18-19. Although 18 and 19, he did play 72 games. He just didn't score a lot.
You're saving the money for who?
I don't get what they're saving the money for. Well, let's build the right way. Let's build the right way. Well, everybody that came in, we thought they were building the right way, and all they do is lose.
And I think building the right way, because, again, this money has to be spent, right? So it's not like you could sit there and wait for the young player to become available, because that's not going to happen, all right? So you spend it here, and then don't you think part of building is getting these guys a sense of being on a winning team
and playing in the postseason? Don't they see that? You can't continue to finish out of the playoffs and in the lottery. It's not helping the young players at all. What are people thinking? The patience aspect of it. Well, we've got to build it the right way. Well, how do you know what the right way is? Take a look at Miami. Did they ever strip it down and become embarrassing like the Knicks have been for 20 years? Ever? And they built another team that was in the NBA Finals. Without skipping a beat, without ever being laughable. That's what great front offices do. So maybe that's what the Knicks are trying to do. They drafted their two players last night. They've got some young players that are on the roster right now. Now they're going to bring in some veterans that can help them learn how to win. Also, they didn't bring in a development coach. They brought in a coach who's a winner, who expects to win, who got the Minnesota Timberwolves in the playoffs. So stop. Stop it. The last development coach that we brought in, David Fizdale, how'd that work out? Couldn't coach. This guy can coach. Maybe he'll teach Obi Toppin how to play defense. I'm excited about our next guest.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have Frank Isola on. He works for the Yes Network. They have a big net special tonight after our show on Yes at 7 o'clock. And also does a SiriusXM NBA show with Brian Scalabrine from 7 to 10 every day. So this guy's locked into all aspects of the NBA. You know, I'm a longtime writer for the Daily News and the Post. But sit back. He's got some great info on the Nets. We'll ask him about the Hayward stuff as well. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.